All right, this is Connections Over Coffee, and I love it, love it, love it. I want to just give a little brief background before we start sharing. And so I'm going to share my screen and go to, bear with me here, while my screen makes its transition. Carmela, I was just telling Sally, my lamp looks crooked behind me. And it's the way my wide angle lens on my camera is displaying the room. It does
look like it's leaning.
Yeah, and I went over and tried to straighten it. It looks straight from in the room, but when you look at it on camera, it looks crooked. And it's the way that the wide angle lens is kind of bending the visual of the wall. I wanted to just give a little brief background. The way to find the connections, because again, we're trying to make connections. We've got someone coming in. We'll let them get connected. If you look here at the URL, this is Kathy Benner International Academy.teachable.com. And when you click on courses here and scroll down, what it will do is it'll come to all of our replays, and it's this Connections Over Coffee. It's free. You do have to register in Teachable with just a username and a password to get in, but it's all free. And once you go to this particular meetup, and I'll show you what that looks like, this is where all the replays are, but it's also where I put all of the connections, because that's part of what we're doing here. It's Connections Over Coffee. And so what we're about, and I'm just going to give a little brief overview here. Connections Over Coffee, Our Time to Rise. It's an international virtual meetup where we will simply network and develop relationships. There's no pressure, no sales, no feeling inadequate. And we'll meet on Zoom monthly. And while many of our meetups have an entrepreneurial focus, everyone is welcome to come and check us out. And then the word rise means reconnect, impact, storify, and elevate. And last month, we did the reconnect. So this month, we're doing step two of this word rise, which is impact. And this is where we make our lives or our business, you don't have to have a business to do this, where you make it more rewarding, successful, and impactful by becoming a business for good, or having just your lifestyle for good. And what that means, I won't get into reading the whole paragraph, but what that means is to systematically make a way to give back, to make an impact on our world. And one of the things that I do is every time somebody joins one of my masterminds, excuse me, I give to education around the world. And I do that through an organization called B1G1. And in this particular group, and I guess I'll have to go back to the other page to show you, this book, Rise, was written by my good friend, Steve Pipe, and he asked me to write the foreword on the book. And so that's where this word rise comes from. And he is very instrumental in B1G1. And so that's how I give around the world. So if you're interested, you can go to my website, kathybenner.com, and scroll down to the section of giving back. And it tells you all about B1G1. And it's just a very systematic way to give around the world. Now, what I do know is we've talked among ourselves in previous meetups, and all of us were already doing a lot of giving back in the community. So anyway, I just wanted to review that before we move on. And so then today, I just kind of want to start sharing. We have another person on board with us, and please forgive me, I'm not sure how to say, the name is S-A-I. Do we pronounce that? Sai? Say? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Can you help me out?
Yeah, Kathy, you're right, that's Sai.
Sai, very nice. Yeah. Thank you for being with us. And I see you have your camera off. Please feel free to turn it on or not if you're in a place where you can't, I understand. But we love that you're with us today. So thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
Yeah, hi, thank you.
Hi.
It's good to see you. Where, yeah. We're going to go around and ask where everyone is from. And so, Sally, we're going to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Canal Winchester.
Okay, now we're a little international, so we have to say a little bit more that it's in Ohio in the United States.
Okay, Canal Winchester, Ohio, United States.
Yeah. Now, I am coming to you from Sarasota, Florida, United States. And Carmela? Oh, you're on mute.
There we go. I'm coming to you from Lima, Ohio, Northwest Ohio, United States.
And Sai, how about you?
Okay, I'm coming from Ohio, Columbus. I live in Dublin.
Okay, so we're all in. And I'm normally from Ohio. I'm just at my Florida condo. So you're just on the other side of Columbus from Sally and me, because I normally am Canal Winchester as well. So perfect, perfect, perfect. I had a gal the other day that tapped in from India, and I had another gal that tapped in from Africa. And so when we said Ohio, they said they had a general idea of where that was, but they weren't sure. So that's why I'm trying to get in the habit. I'm also on Clubhouse every morning. And one of the things that I noticed is some of the folks that chat on Clubhouse, they say, you know, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And I'm like, what? And they said, yeah, because we have folks all around the world and we're all in different time zones. And so I'm trying to be a little more international. I like to view myself as being a world citizen. And, but sometimes I show my ignorance by not, you know, really realizing just how wide, especially when you're on Zoom, how wide of an area that this kind of can encompass. So anyway, I want to just share a little bit today about, again, I was talking about the B1G1 and how we give back. And I don't know, are you gals familiar with the United Nations 17 ways to make the world a better place? Is anyone familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Before? And how about Sai? Have you heard about that before?
No, not really.
I'm going to share my screen, and I did not have this already pulled up, so I'm going to get rid of a little bit, get rid of some of my other links, so maybe my computer will move a little faster and see. And see if I can't find something to show you what that is. Because once you realize what all the impacts are, it's easy to find a way. And it's not going to pull it up for me very easy today. It's giving me everything else but. Here we go. I was looking to see if we could see it, but I don't see it. So I'll open this up and see if I can find it. Because B1G1 follows that formula of all of the impacts. And let me see. Right here, Sustainable Development Goals. That's what it's called, Sustainable Development Goals. And let's see if I can open up that page. This will just be a little bit of an education for everyone. Here they are. This is what all of the goals look like. There's all of these, and then the last block, they actually have a goal block. But all of these, see if I can get larger so we can try and read it. So these are what the goals are all about. It's no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work and economic growth, industry, innovation, and infrastructure, reduced inequalities, Sustainable Cities and Communities, Climate Action, Life on Land, and Peace, Justice, and Strong Institutions. So those are the initiatives that was developed by the United Nations. And so what this company, B1G1, has done is they have created where you can apply. And so if you personally, let's say you personally have, like I know Carmela, you like to help gals, young gals in your area, you know, like kind of like almost like a big sister type thing where you come alongside them and whenever they have problems or questions or issues. If you had a nonprofit, you could actually apply to B1G1 to be in, let's see, what might work for you in that particular facet. It could be gender equality, it could be quality education. I'm trying to think of what categories all it might come under. But anyway, once you determine along with B1G1 what category, you could create a nonprofit and you could apply and actually get funded. You could actually be funded to have an organization if you wanted to go that route to help folks. Now, for me, mine is quality education, because when I started the Kathy Benner International Academy, I wanted to create educational tools that everyone could tap into. I wanted a lot of free stuff. I wanted very low price points so folks could tap in. And so I have not applied to be a B1G1 receiver, but I am a B1G1 giver. So what I do is every time somebody joins one of my masterminds, I give to quality education. So out of this number of impacts that you see right here, several of those are from my organization. And so that's how I try to give back at this point. But one of the things that we can do is create a nonprofit. And what I did is I created a nonprofit so that I can give back to folks that want to get into the real estate industry, because one of my largest passive incomes is rental properties. And so I wanted to give back to anyone that wanted to actually be a real estate agent. And so I help with their education, with that piece of it, for them to take their state exam. And I gave away 2 scholarships last year. I hope to do at least 2 this year, if not more. And so that's just one of the ways that I'm giving back, in addition to just donating to B1G1 at large every month. And it can be very systematic like that. So I don't know if you have something that it's a burning kind of passion of yours that you do want to give to, or that you want to create, or that you want to do. I know Sal wanted to do a program where you were helping folks that were going through the grieving process, where you could listen to the caregiver, because oftentimes the caregiver gets forgotten in that equation. And I know you wanted to work with the caregivers. And so there could be a way that you could have a nonprofit and get funded if you so desired to go that route. Or you could just, you know, and I know you do a lot of contributing already in that realm. So let's go around and just share what has been on your heart and what are the ways that you give currently. Again, for me, I donate through B1G1 every month. I also do free meetups. I've got 8 different free meetups in all different lanes where I give every month. And then I also do the scholarship program where I created the nonprofit. So let's start with Sally.
Okay, I contribute monthly to Bottoms Up Diaper Drive.
You know, I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, you know Joe Welsh.
Yes, I know Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a local, like, it's not so local anymore, but they collect diapers and donate them to women who need the diapers, because diapers are expensive.
They're very expensive. I get that. And yeah, that was one of my biggest budget items when Jennifer was small. And again, my story is that I was a single mom working 2 minimum wage jobs. And I remember really struggling to pay the childcare and to try to keep my car going and get to work on time and all of that. And I remember diapers being a really big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember those days. Yeah.
So, and I support Brian Saunders Foundation, mm-hmm. which was started by a local resident. It's also Ohio wide, I think, right now.
Yes, yes.
And pregnancy decision health centers.
And then, of course, locally, we have the whole Brock Strong
organization.
And everyone in our area in Kennewick, Winchester, I think, participates in that organization in some fashion, whether they're volunteering or donating or whatever. So, yes. So lots of opportunities out there. Now, have you ever thought you wanted to have a nonprofit? Have you ever thought you wanted to do something like that?
I didn't even think until you mentioned it. I didn't even think about having a nonprofit, that I could do the other thing as a nonprofit.
Yes.
It just never occurred to me.
And you know what? It really wasn't that hard for me to start the nonprofit for the real estate, where I'm giving back the scholarship. One of the things that Mark and I always thought about, and I think it's as we get older, we start thinking about, our legacy that we want to leave. Mm-hmm. And, we want to leave our mark, on the world somehow. And one of the things that we thought when his dad, who was a college professor and just the sweetest man, when he passed away, Mark was like, he said, my brother and I are the last two Vances. And he said, after we're gone, he said, the Vance, this whole lineage of the Vance family disappears, because the brother had all girls. And of course, they're now married and took their husband's names. And then they have that family. But he said, as far as the Vance name, he said, it kind of ends with Mark and his brother, Gary. So he wanted to leave some sort of a lasting legacy. And so we're now discussing starting a nonprofit scholarship program in some fashion, again, for education, because his dad was a college professor, that we're thinking about doing some sort of a nonprofit in the dad's name, as a legacy. So, and then my dad, of course, was a builder. And so my real estate scholarship does kind of honor my dad as well. So anyway, those are some of the things that we're thinking about, just, to leave that legacy. And so, Sally, I could see, because as the population gets older and we have more and more folks that need care, it's the caregivers. And Carmela, you can attest to this right now with what you're going through. A lot of times it's the caregivers that kind of fall through the cracks. And so I can see where that's huge. And that way, there would be a way that you could even get some federal grants. There's funding. There's all kinds of things that you could do for some of these caregivers, like bringing in some other care and giving them a break and having that paid for, or giving them a weekend retreat, every couple of months and having that paid for. Because sometimes it's the income is the issue. Because I remember when we were taking care of Mark's dad and my mom, who both were on the same hospice team at the same time, Mark and I we saw ourselves coming and going. We were trying to take care of jobs and parents and sort out all of the legalities on what we need to do and how do we get care and how do we, how much is covered under insurance and not covered. And of course we weren't trained to be caregivers, and all of a sudden we're kind of thrust into that role.
Right.
So I can see where that would be huge for you. So does that excite you at all, thinking that
it does? It does. I really have to give this some thought, because I never thought of doing it as a nonprofit, mm-hmm. And getting the help that would actually help caregivers.
Yeah,
because it's always money and time, Yes.
And you've been there, so you know exactly what they need. You know how they feel because you have gone through it, and I have gone through it, and Carmela has gone through it. And so we know exactly what's needed, but sometimes we're just too exhausted when we're in the soup to try to help someone else at the same time. So Carmela, how about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I still help with our local Alzheimer's Association. And I kind of give a lot of my time to that and support them. And because, still with no, what's the word I'm looking for? something to help with it. You know, you have things that kind of help with it, but there's no cure for it. That's what I'm looking to say. You know, I help with that. Also, like with, like you said, even like with the young women, and like you, you know, I was a single mom for a long time with Jaden. Sometimes it was tough, and you know, a lot. I don't condemn anyone that has to get assistance. I tried not to because I figured if I'm able to work and do it, I want to do it myself. You know, because somebody else may need it more so than I do. So I try to help in that aspect, you know, and little things around.
So have you, because you're very active in your church, have you ever considered doing a nonprofit? Has that ever the equation for you?
I never thought about it, you know, because I thought to have a nonprofit, you know, you had to have something really big and meaningful. And I'm like, oh, everything that I, you know, want, it's not, I guess it's not that big and meaningful. It's something, you know, that you hear about. So I never really give it a thought until, you know, being on the Zooms with you and hearing about it and knowing what you and Sally do. I'm like, never thought about it whatsoever. So now it's kind of one of those things that's in the back of my mind that it's, this is something that I can give back to.
It's definitely a possibility. What really sparked me and kind of pushed me forward is I just felt like starting a nonprofit was all this hocus pocus, you know, like how, what do you file? Where do you file? How do you get the information? What, you know, what do you do? Do you have to then figure out taxes and how does all that work? And so it wasn't until, and I don't know if you gals remember this, you probably do, when my partner last January, my partner in the real estate, Happy House Hunters, passed away, Stephanie Jenkins, and she was our in-house realtor. And so she would get us into all these properties for our Happy House Hunter mastermind group. And she passed away suddenly. And everybody is like, just on a side note, everybody's like, oh my gosh, did she have COVID? No, she had a bad tooth. She had a bad tooth and she got sepsis. And at 47 years old, she passed away from a bad tooth. So side note, if you have any dental issues, get it taken care of. But anyway, because she was a realtor and she loved real estate and she was just bigger than life, if anybody knew Stephanie, we decided at that time to start this nonprofit. And so it was up to me to roll up my sleeves and figure it out. And so I did. And you know what? It was not hard. It was filing the nonprofit form with the state. And then it was setting up, you know, a list of our rules and, you know, what our nonprofit was about. And then at tax time, there's one tax form that I need. And all I do, it's just like a regular tax form. You just put all the money coming in and the money going out and how much is left in the till. That's all it is. It's just a one page tax form that you on behalf of the nonprofit. So anyway, to show that it's a nonprofit, to show that you're not taking the money out of the bank. And there's a separate bank account with its own EIN number and everything for that particular account to hold that money. It's like a fiduciary account. Anyway, that's the whole thing. And so you can create a nonprofit rather easily if it's a passion. Now, again, I'm not trying to, you know, twist anybody's arm to start a nonprofit if it's not what you want to do. I'm just saying that it's definitely an option. So, Sai, how about you? What are your thoughts?
So, to be honest, I really don't have anything in my mind. I mean, I'm new to this country. I'm from India. So back in India, I used to do some sort of volunteering. But after I moved to the United States, I really didn't do much. But I want to start with some sort of volunteering to give back to the society and all those things. Yep. I'm really looking and exploring the options as of now. Coming back to nonprofit thing, I really don't have anything as of now, at least.
Okay. How long have you been in the country?
It's been like 1.5 years. I came for my master, doing my grad here, graduation. I recently got graded from Wright State University.
Okay. Now, what country did you come from?
I came from India.
From India? And mm-hmm. What language do they speak in India?
Oh, we have like more than 100, I would say. Like, every region has their own local language, but we would say like Hindi as our national language. But okay. I came from the state of Andhra Pradesh, where we speak in Telugu. Yeah.
Now, did you learn English before, while you were in India, or not until you came to the States a year and a half ago?
No, right from my schooling, I did my all my schooling and undergrad in English medium. So entire our syllabus is in English medium. So we just tend to speak right from our childhood. It's not like something, a transition that we did after coming to US.
Yeah. Well, your English is very good. So that, yeah. I applaud you. I don't speak any other language, and sometimes I struggle with English. Yes, your English is very good. So we welcome you so much. And since you are new, somewhat new in the country, how did you actually end up in Columbus, Ohio? Is that where you did your schooling?
I did it in Dayton, Ohio. Then, okay. Yeah, my husband lives in Columbus, so I have to move to Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm doing my job as well in Columbus with Scotts.
Okay, and where do you work currently, may I ask?
Yeah, definitely. I work for Scotts Miracle-Gro.
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's Scotts Miracle-Gro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then you live in the Dublin area. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
that's good. Yeah.
We love to go up that direction. We have some of our favorite restaurants that way. Oh. And that's on Carmela's end of Columbus. If she would come down to Columbus, Dublin's one of the first areas she would get to. So now, have you ever been involved in any nonprofits at all, as far as how they work or?
I have zero knowledge. I never had involved any of it. But yeah, definitely I'm looking forward to doing something. Yeah.
Okay. So what is your passion, Sai? What is your passion as far as what you like to do, or what makes you get excited to get up in the morning? What is your passion?
Definitely I would say like to interact more with the people, to talk, to interact, that's something drives me more. And when coming back to work, it's definitely the technology that always drives me.
Okay. So you could do something in that field, actually, as far as giving back. I love that. And thank you so much for being with us today. So let's go around. And what is one of the struggles that we're having this week? And I'll start. I'm struggling with rheumatoid arthritis at 65. I was actually diagnosed at age 40 with moderate to severe rheumatoid in my joints. And the doctor said it would progressively get worse and that I would ultimately have to have all of those things that we hear about, you know, the knee surgeries and the shoulder surgeries. And then I noticed that my toes were starting to be painful and starting to cross. And then the doctor said that I would possibly even have to have a big toe joint replacement, and they would replace it with an acrylic joint. Well, now they have some surgeries where they can maybe bypass that for a little longer, maybe give me another 10 years before I'd have to have that. So with all of that said, I've been struggling with the rheumatoid, but I want to remain as healthy as possible for as long as possible. And so Mark and I, we love to cycle. As you can see, this is not a real bike back here behind me on the wall. That is actually a metal sculpture that we found at a consignment shop. And we saw it, and the shop was closed, and we saw it in the window. And we went back 3 days in a row trying to buy that sculpture to hang on the wall, and we couldn't find them open. You know, we just hit the wrong hours. Like, they opened it at 10 and we were there at like 9:30 or something. And so we finally went 3 days in a row before we bought that, because we love to cycle. And that's one of the things that, as long as I don't do a lot of hills and gear down to a lower gear, that I can cycle. Now, back in the day, in my 20s and 30s, I used to ride the big Tosser ride because I love being outdoors. And I would ride from Columbus, Ohio, all the way down through the Scioto Valley, all the way to Portsmouth, which is 125 miles one way. And then we'd stay overnight, and then we would ride back 125 miles the next day back to Columbus. And I did that 8 years in a row. But when you get into Southern Ohio, you get into more hills. And so the doctor finally at age 40, when I showed up with my knees swollen up and, you know, he said, off the bike, that's rheumatoid. You don't have any cartilage left in your joints. You can't do that any longer. So for 20 years, I didn't. And finally, I told Mark one day, I said, once I'm ready to retire from my day job, I said, I really think I want to ride again. And he said, I don't see how that's going to work. And I said, well, the doctor said, as long as I didn't have any knee pressure. So long story short, Mark found me a bike, got it all tuned up for me. And we started riding about 5 years ago. And so now we try to ride every week just to stay active and to keep all those joints moving, because I won't get into the medical terminology, but if you don't keep the joints moving, they fuse together. So you got to keep them moving. Together. And so anyway, we're very active. And so now I have gotten it in my head, and Mark just shakes his head at me. I want to do at least a portion of the Appalachian Trail. And so we have been walking every day. And even though I haven't had any surgeries yet on my rheumatoid, so far, so good. And yesterday was my highest. I did 8.5 miles. And so I have to do 10 miles a day for at least three times before I do the first leg of the Appalachian Trail, because the first leg is a 10-mile leg of the Appalachian Trail. So anyway, so that's been my struggle this week, is I'm really wanting to overcome a sedentary lifestyle, and I want to be active, and I want to be out, and I want to be as healthy as possible for as long as possible so that I can, you know, do my passion and my mission, which is helping folks that basically a younger version of me, those moms and dads that struggle financially. And again, I know that sometimes that are struggling, $200 a month makes a difference in their life. It makes a difference on whether they have a decent car to drive. And $500 a month might make a difference in their zip code and to what school district their kids go to. So if I can help somebody generate $200, $500, $1,000, or a couple $1,000 a month, if I can just help somebody do that, that is my passion. And so that is what drives me to come on these calls and to keep developing the Kathy Venner International Academy. So that's my struggle for this week, is getting up to 10 miles. I haven't made it yet. 6 is a very comfortable for me in a day's time, 6 miles, a little over. 8.5 was a little bit of a push yesterday. Mark wasn't sure he could get out of bed this morning. I did fine. He was struggling a bit. He said, I don't know about this 10 miles a day. So, Sally, what has been your struggle this week?
Actually, I really haven't had any struggles this week. It's been a fairly good week. I mean, bookings are picking up for next year, not for this year. But
good. Do you have any Appalachian Trail trips?
No, I don't think I'd recommend something I wouldn't do. So or couldn't. I'll say couldn't do at this point in time. I couldn't do that. So you know, I'm still kind of upset about the whole Antarctic trip being canceled.
I can understand that, yes.
Because, you know, Matt might get another opportunity, my son, but I won't probably. You know, I'm kind of pushing 70, so I'm not happy about that. But yeah,
you look. I can't imagine. You look amazing. I never guess that. I always think that you're younger than me.
Nope.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, you look amazing.
Yeah, I'll be 69 in January. So, but that's still pushing 70. So, yeah, and you know what? I think it's all attitude.
You know, I agree. I think you're right.
And health. I mean, and this is sounds awful, but I have outlived my mother and my sisters. So I guess I feel good about that. I mean, I don't feel good that they're gone, but you know.
I know that you're staying healthy. You're, you know, you're pushing forward. You're doing all the right stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, great. This week has been, I got my grant and now I can, I feel better about being able to, I have a little more wiggle room as far as marketing or participating in vendors, you know.
Let's talk about that. You received a grant and that was a lifesaver for you because your business was shut down for so long because of everything going on. And the grant is making it possible for you to sustain that so that you can continue on. And so with that in mind, just think about how important it is to get a grant, which was all done with a nonprofit.
Yeah. Well, so, this was from SBA.
Okay.
I got two grants. It was targeted small business. Mm-hmm. So I got one a few weeks ago for $10,000 and then this week one for $5,000. So that makes it huge. And I don't have to pay back my second PPP loan. So all of that makes a huge impact going forward. So now I can say, okay, I signed up for a Winter Fest at X Church for November. I signed up for another vendor show. I can feel like I can advertise.
Yes. I got a letter. Yes, I get it. Yeah.
I can pull a little bit out of that to go forward.
I love that. And so I guess my point is how important it is to get some proceeds like that.
Yes.
So how important it is if we can create some proceeds for someone else.
Because right. Definitely.
It's just such a lifesaver. So I love that. So congratulations on your grants. I can't wait to see you out there at some of these expos. And I know people have cabin fever. They're ready. Everybody's ready to do something. Yeah. And so as soon as whatever you're doing hits their price point and their time frame, they're in. I get that.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. Yep.
Yep. So I love that. Carmela, I see you just turned your camera off. Are you, can you share?
I can. Seems like everybody's like calling me today. I'm trying to get off.
I did it.
Okay. I should be back. This week it's been kind of rough. I had to have an MRI yesterday because I don't know if I shared this before, but back in June when I was working on the house in Maryland, I fell downstairs and I broke my tailbone. So I've been having trouble and they think, and then I started going to the gym and I took a class, had a private trainer, told her that, you know, I injured myself and it was just the beginning of June. So it's not like I'm totally healed, but she had me doing a bunch of crunches and weights. Well, there was a couple of days I couldn't literally move. I started getting numbness in my legs and my upper thighs and hips and tingling. Went back to my chiropractor to make a long story short. He thinks I also damaged my first, second, and third lumbar.
Oh my.
So I drove to Troy yesterday and I said, the one thing that helps me is turning on, I have the air going in my face in the car, but yet the heat is on my back, but it helps.
I get it.
And I had some MRIs done to see where we're going to go from there. Of course, I tried to call your niece while I was in Troy and she got back with me way late. And I'm like, I'm back in Lima now.
But yeah, their niece is in Troy. The one is in Marion, the other one is in Troy. So yeah.
But that's been like a struggle this week. Today my arm is sore and I totally forgot that yesterday I had my flu shot. But even with my struggle with that, I did have like a good thing. My doctor was telling me, she said she was so proud of me yesterday. I went for a follow-up. and my blood pressure is on track, and it's been for a while, which kudos to me. And I've lost 10 pounds since August. And last week, trying to cut out sugar. I've been trying to drink a gallon of water a day just because I like pop and I'm just trying to be healthy. But I just came back from Missouri. I went to a crafters retreat with one of my best friends since first grade. And we took a girls' road trip. And we had so many carbs. I'm like, okay, they can't count. They can't count. But good thing was I only gained 1 pound over the whole trip.
Well, that's kudos to you. Yeah. I just look at something fattening and I gain a pound. So it's very frustrating. I struggle with my weight quite a bit. And again, the doctor's concerned for me with having foot surgery. He said the less you weigh, the faster your recovery on your foot surgery. And we've all looked at those charts on what we're supposed to weigh according to our height. So I always say I'm not too fat, I'm too short.
I say I'm fluffy and cuddly.
So anyway, it's always a struggle. And I think as we get older, it's a bigger struggle. The older we get, the harder it is for us to, I think, to keep our weight where we want it to be. But it is one of those things that we need to manage for our health. So kudos to you. But I'm sure you're going through all the tailbone back issues because that, without the MRI, you can't really decide what's going on in there. So when will you have some answers?
Actually, Tuesday, I'm going back for a follow-up. So he had me go to Troy because apparently this imaging place, they're really quick and fast about getting the results. They actually gave me a CD yesterday, which I dropped off. So hopefully I'll know where to go from there because there's days that it just hurts. And of course I carry a pillow with me to sit on just to kind of help. And it's one of those things where they say that it's a long healing process. My doctor's like, there's been people that's messed up their tailbone and it's been 5 years and they're still suffering.
Oh,
but you know, I try, you know, usually I have a rough time sleeping depending, and I don't want to be taking a lot of pills or medication. So
I try to do
things naturally and everything. So, but other than that, I feel fabulous. It's just, you know, the back on occasions. And then it's almost like, oh, I can tell it's going to rain because I'm starting to feel this now, pain.
What might happen is, and again, this is just kind of a medical phenomenon that usually happens, is once you have an injury like that, even once it's healed, arthritis starts to settle in around those joints just because of the injury. And so the injury didn't cause the arthritis and the arthritis didn't cause the injury. It's just kind of goes hand in hand. And so for me, because my big toe's coming apart, the doctor said, did you wear like really high heels when you were younger? And I'm like, oh, guilty, 4-inch heels forever. And of course, when you're in your 20s, it doesn't occur to you that by the time you're 60, you're going to wish you wouldn't have done that. So, right. And so I did that all the time. And I now even have shoe envy. I'll see these young girls in these adorable spike heels. And I'm like, I can't get my foot in that anymore. Can't do that. So I don't know if I would have been strong enough at age 20 to say no, because I love the look and I dress like that all the time in my 20s and 30s. But so anyhow, you might end up with some arthritis there. So you might always be able to tell when it rains. So, but that's manageable. You know, the arthritis is manageable once you get healed up. So good vibes going out to you. Hope you get healed up really soon.
For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How about you? Have you had any struggles this week?
No, Kathy, not really. But one thing, seeing you all guys doing such a great work at this age is like really inspiring me. I'm glad that I met you all today, to be honest. It's really inspiring, I have to say that.
Well, we're so glad that you connected with us today. And if you're just looking for some friends and to have a deeper connection, that's perfect. We'd love to have you every month join in with us. We love that you're here. And we love that really you're kind of local. We're all four of us are in Ohio, except I'm just in Florida for now for about 10 days, but I live there as well. So we're all there somewhat close. So what I would like is, and keep in touch, because what I would like to do is when we get closer to the holidays, depending on the weather, of course, because Carmelo might have to drive down, but I would like to maybe even do an in-person meetup. That are tapping in all the time could actually meet face to face, because we would love to see you. So thank you for joining us. So with that, I'm going to ask, is there any final comments or anything anybody wants to share?
Well, I do have a question. How far are you from Upper Arlington?
Are you talking to Cy?
Well, to you, Kathleen.
Oh, from Upper Arlington? Oh, I'm less than a half an hour.
Because I'm always going to Jade, so I'm usually in the area. So that's where she lives. So it's not like it's that far of a drive for me.
Yeah, yeah. We go to Upper Arlington a lot of times just to go to dinner.
See, I like to go to Columbus for food, you know, so.
Me too, yeah. Yeah,
we're so close to the interstate, to Route 30 and, you know, 70, that it's just hopping on 33 and driving north.
Yeah, I can be anywhere around the Outer Belt in Columbus within really a half an hour. I can be in Westerville or Dublin or Hilliard. I can be almost anywhere within a half an hour. Yeah.
Okay. So, and
we don't consider, you know, I mean, I drove into Columbus, you know, from Lancaster, which is even further out. I drove that for 20 some years to go to work. So a half an hour drive is like just around the block to us. It's like, oh, half an hour. Yeah, we can do that.
Yep.
Yeah. So to answer your question, we're relatively close there.
Okay.
Perfect. And Cy is even closer in Dublin to Upper Arlington. She's even closer. Yeah. Than we are, yeah. So that would be perfect. So I will keep that in mind. Now, I have Sally's and I have Carmela's contact information. Cy, if you wanna be listed in that resource section where we can make deeper connections, put your contact information in the chat box. And I'll put in the Academy, and then you can go to the Academy and connect with all of us. And just Google the Kathy Benner International Academy, and then just scroll down to the Connections Over Coffee free meetup. But if you put your contact information in there, I will include it as well.
Yeah.
And I put website in there. And my email address. So if you want to just open up the chat box and make a screen print, you can just screen print that so that you don't have to write it all down. And if you open it up like you're going to make a chat, and click on the three little dots where it'll say save chat, and it'll actually save it right to your phone or computer, either way. But if you're into technology, you probably already knew all that. I had to figure all that out. Not my first suit is technology.
I'm glad we were an inspiration to you.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate you being on today.
Yes.
I don't want to disconnect it. Are you going to, do you want to put your information in the chat, Cy, or do you want to just go to the Academy and check out everyone else first? I don't want to end the call if you're going to put your information in there. I didn't want to block you out.
I'll share the information to your mail ID if that works. I somehow can't type. I don't know what's wrong with my
iPad.
I can share the information to your mail, the email ID that you have given me.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And then I'll go ahead and include you in our list. And that way you can connect with everyone that's in the group. So
sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. Yep. Thank you, everyone. Right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining in today. I appreciate this. Sometimes, you just need that one-on-one connection with some other folks. And this is the perfect way to do it. No matter where we are, we can still connect. So thank you so much for signing on today.
Thank you.
Okay. Best to everyone this week. And we will see you next time.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.